You're listening to Therapy for Your Money, a podcast about all things money and finance for therapy practice owners. If you want to feel confident and in control of your financial life, then you've come to the right spot. I'm your host, Julie Harris. I'm an accountant and the owner of Green Oak Accounting. My firm specializes in working with private practices across the U.S., and my team and I have worked with hundreds of private practice owners. I'm on a mission to share all the best practices I've learned along the way because I want you to have a profitable private practice. My new book, Profit First for Therapists, is available at most online retailers. You can get it in paperback, audiobook, or ebook as well. Go check it out. Hi there, and welcome to Therapy for Your Money. In today's episode, I am showcasing an author that has always been an inspiration to me, and that author is Mike Michalowicz. As you may know, earlier in 2023, I published Profit First for Therapists, and the original author of the Profit First book is Mike Michalowicz. So I have worked with him for a number of years as a Profit First professional. He was the inspiration, and actually he was an encourager of me writing Profit First for Therapists. And when I launched the book, he was kind enough to join my virtual launch party, and we chatted about what it's like to write a book, what the process was like, and we also talked about his very next project, All In. So the virtual launch party was all the way back in May, but his new book, All In, will be out in the next couple of weeks, very early in January. So I'm revisiting this conversation because it's top of mind for me, but I also want to invite you to go to therapyforyourmoney.com/all-in, that's A-L-L-I-N, to check out Mike's new book. In the new book, he talks about building better teams. And honestly, I think that's just such a timely read for most practice owners. So I hope you'll enjoy listening in to our conversation and check out therapyforyourmoney.com/all-in to check out Mike's resources for his brand new book. Mike Michalowicz, hello.
I was good. I'm doing well. I'm getting down to Guns N' Roses.
We actually picked that song for you. We thought, I don't know, it felt like the right choice.
I'm going to see them in concert this August. They've been my dream band to see. I've never seen them. They're getting a little long in the tooth. So good choice.
They're getting there quick, right?
Yeah.
Mike, I'm so happy that you are here. Obviously, I think you need no introduction. I'll still introduce you. You are what I call a mega author, right? Profit First, Fix This Next, Clockwork, Get Different. The list goes on. I know I'm missing some. The list goes on and on. But you wrote the original Profit First. What's today like for you? What is it like for you to see another Profit First launched out there?
Well, it's massive. So the real congratulations and all the excitement is from me to you. Congratulations. You know, this is a Herculean effort. It takes an extraordinary amount of effort to produce something. And it's not just the writing. It's the experience you have to have behind it to extract these stories. My favorite part, truly, is that it's for therapists. I read a study a long while back that the most afflicted community with depression is the entrepreneurial community. Mm. So it's a little bit ironic that the business owners who are providing such an important, necessary health therapy are also the ones who are often falling ill to, if you will, depression or struggles because of their financial struggles. So you're doing more than just empowering this community that's serving others. You're helping them with their own struggles. And if we're financially secure, it doesn't guarantee you'll be secure in every other element of life, but it starts a positive cascade. That's why I'm so pumped about your book.
Yeah. And you are beloved by therapists everywhere, right? you do a lot of speaking in that space and they absolutely love you. But there's this interesting thing in the mental health industry that therapists often don't feel like they deserve to make money or have a profitable business. And there's a lot of guilt around making money. Yeah. So for a lot of therapists, profit is a kind of a dirty word, right? Like, profitable. I don't think it could be farther from the truth, but what's your perspective on it?
Well, I'm 100% on the same page with you. I hear the same thing. I am of service, therefore I must sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But think about the client's perspective. Now, I'm going to make what may sound like an outrageous statement, but I'll qualify. Your clients, if you're a therapist, your clients want you to be wildly profitable. those aren't the words they use. They won't say, hey, can you increase your fees a little bit? Can you charge me more? But what they will say is, when I am working with you, I want your undivided attention. I want you to treat me like your number one patient. I want to be cared for fully. I want you to invest the time, not just actual time, but the mental energy necessary to help me navigate my circumstances. Imagine the therapist saying, you know, you walk in for your session. I have a therapist. I couldn't imagine walking in and she's like, oh, hey, Mike, good to see you. We got to roll through this. I'm really desperate to make cash. I'm not profitable. I got more patients in here. Can we roll? You know, what? How do I feel I'm being cared for? I know the internal conversation in my therapist's head is, I got to hurry up and get more clients. And that is the worst scenario. So your clients want you to be wildly profitable because it translates to concentration, availability, no worry on your behalf, no panic. You can care for your customer the best. And this is true not just for therapists, it's true for any business. But unless you're sustainably profitable, you can't give the best of yourself. So if you feel you can give the best of yourself by having one leg tied to the other and your arm behind the back, I think you're horribly wrong. And we need to resolve that. We need to ensure that you're profitable so you can care for your customers in the best way. It's not selfish. It's actually caring by being sustainable.
And in my book, I make the point of, I feel like I have to convince a little bit, practice owners that they deserve to be profitable. But like, that is a service to everyone around you. It's a service to your clients, a service to your team if you have one. I know very few things that will erode a team member's trust, like bouncing payroll, right? Like if you are financially secure, you are in service to them and you're in service of the community. You can do so much more in the community if you just have a profitable business. But there's a lot of shame around it. You're out there eradicating entrepreneurial poverty. And I feel like I need every practice to be profitable. That's what we're doing over here. I want every practice owner to be unapologetic about making money.
Totally. Check it out here, Julie. There on my wall here, I have this eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. That's the mission I'm on. I have that in my office here. I have it in my house. I'm not into tattoos. I may even tattoo myself. I believe it's such an important mission. The other thing profit delivers to therapists is a term called runway. Runway is the time you have before the business needs to recover from whatever circumstance it's under. Now, COVID for most businesses, except for therapists, causes downward trajectory. Businesses that had sustained profitability and reserves were able to navigate that. Sadly, a lot of businesses went out of business. Now, for therapists, COVID was a boom and continues to be of opportunity, but it won't be that way forever. We all know it. We don't want to admit it. Like, this is the new standard, but things will change again. They always do. Change is the only constant I can think of. So profit allows also not just for you to be sustainable, to pay yourself and be comfortable in your lifestyle. We need that for you to cover for your team. It also allows you to build runway. So the profit first system isn't about just taking money for yourself personally and supporting your team. It's about building this cushion. So when something happens, and we can have what's called macro change, COVID, economy, but more often it's micro change. A building burns down, a competitor appears, there's a bad Google review, whatever it is, those things can affect your business. And if you don't have reserve profitability, you don't have the runway to recover from that. And that is a panic state. When you don't have any cash to sustain your business, we start doing desperate things. And that's a really bad situation to be in. So be profitable also to be sustainable through the bumps and bruises that we're inevitably going to experience.
In a previous segment, we were talking to three practice owners who implement profit first in their practice. And what they were saying is that it's not that there's no more problems, right? Because if you are a business owner, you will have problems. Like problems will happen. If you're expecting no problems, then you're in the wrong business, right? If you own a business, you're going to have problems. But it helps kind of, okay, we're going to be okay. There's a reserve, there's cash, there's a plan. And if something goes wrong, we're not just shutting down at that moment.
Correct. You'll elevate to what they call better problems. So better problems are problems that are significant, but you have time to think about strategically. Yeah. I think most businesses respond reactionally because they don't have time. And when you're in a desperate situation, desperate people do desperate things. Yeah. I've seen therapists say, oh my gosh, we don't have enough business in the door. How am I going to cover payroll or rent next week? We need to do an equivalent of a sale. let's just go out and start telling a community that we're having 50% off. Let's go to existing patients and say, hey, if you prepay for 5 sessions, the 6 sessions on me. Those are all ways of discounting ourselves, which can, sometimes it doesn't, it can bring in immediate cash flow. So you bring in a little more money now, which gives temporary relief, but actually aggravates the longer term problem. Because now per session, I'm actually making less money. So it starts this downward spiral. And then panic ensues again another few weeks later. How am I going to pay payroll this week now? And so we do another form of discounting, or sometimes we'll try to diversify our offering and say, maybe I can offer stuff which dilutes our ability. And it's a slow but painful downward spiral for a business. Yeah. The ironic thing is the recovery can be quick, but it does require that you make a commitment, that you're committed to taking your profit first. You're going to have to go to that bank. You're going to have to set those accounts. It has to be at the bank because this intercepts your behavior. If you log into your bank account to see how much money you have, that's where you're going. That's where we need the system. Can't be in a spreadsheet.
It cannot
and
be
with the money there. And by taking your profit first, you are forced to make the right healthy decisions for your business with what's left over, as opposed to trying to play this delay it into perpetuity game, which no one in the history of business has ever been able to delay cash flow and sustain. At one day, it's coming. It'll bite you in the butt.
Yeah. This I call it the spiral of debt, right? We're just kind of in the spiral and it's going down. And it's not nearly as fun or as sexy to grow at the speed of cash, right? Like it just takes, there's delayed gratification. Like, okay, let's wait and see and get some money in the door. But man, is it worth it? Because then you actually get to keep the profit.
Yeah. And it was interesting. I was meeting with some entrepreneurs recently, and this is something I've been saying, but I heard it in a new perspective. It's about innovation. So the lack of money going through your business. So here's what happens in essence. $200 comes in today. We used to say, I have $200 for my business. But now with Profit First, we're saying, no, maybe $20 is going to your future profit. We're going to reward you in cash, which feels good. You see the cash accumulating. Yeah. We're going to pay you a salary for the work you do, which actually may reacclimate us in a joyful way to our business. Many therapists I know are resentful of their business. They're sacrificing themselves and actually hate the business because they can't sustain. We reserve money for taxes. So that prior $200 operated business has been carved up to its intended use. And you may see, I have $80. That's the reality. I don't have $200. I have $80. So now it forces hard decisions. It's called forced frugality. You know what's really available to operate because you want to be profitable. You want to pay yourself. You don't want to worry about taxes. This is what you must do. But what my friends were telling me, and from their own experiences, these were a group of entrepreneurs, said, when I had less money, I had to think more innovatively.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where the power is. Literally, as I was coming here for this event with you, I stopped by a physical therapist's office who's implementing Profit First. And as I was leaving, his name was Vaughn. Vaughn said, I got to tell you something. COVID was amazing. I said, how is COVID amazing for a physical therapist where people have to come to you? He said, I had to think out of the box and I had to create a way to do physical therapy remotely. So he does it remotely. And he says, now about 80% of my customers don't come to our facility. They do it remotely, which has given me the freedom to travel and go on vacation with my family and still provide service. So it's a constraint that triggers innovation. When you have less money, you don't just say, well, I guess I'm done. No, your mind says, how am I going to get the same results in a new way? And inevitably, you'll find a better, more effective way. In fact, one thing I can guarantee you, it's unlikely you'll follow the industry norms. And when you start redefining how the industry operates, you become the authority of the industry because you've redefined it. That's what innovation does.
Yeah. Mike, as we close, I know we have just a few more minutes left. I want to ask you, what projects are you working on right now? Is there a book in the hopper? What are you up to?
Always a book in the hopper. Yeah. So I was just down in Maryland. I came up this morning, stopped by this PT's place. I was doing a presentation on my next book. It's not coming out until 2024, January. The book's done. It's just the supply chain issues are slowing down book production through mainstream publishing. The working title, which will be the final title, is All In. In fact, you can see a gray printout of it right there.
Yeah.
All In. And what that is it's lessons on how to build an unstoppable team. If you have a team of one other, you and one other person, or you have a team of 20 or 30, how do you build people? How do you build an organization where people want to stay, are thrilled to stay, are going to elevate the company? And ultimately, how are they going to act like owners? How do you get your colleagues to act just like you do? And I think I found the secret sauce. It took 5 years to write this book of research and so forth, but I think I found it. And ironically, or interestingly, it's not through interviews. It's not through a lot of the traditional things. It's definitely not culture. It's some other things. I teach those methods in this book.
And you're just dot, 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 leave us with the suspense of what it is.
Available for pre-order on Amazon.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. I'm going to sneak in one more question. Yeah. Mike, of all your books, do you have a favorite? Or is that like asking if you have a favorite child?
Yeah, it's like kind of a favorite child. So I'll tell you, my greatest impact has been through Profit First. So I am forever indebted to that experience and how it's serving the community. And it gives me the most joy because I get emails literally from people. Actually, as we're talking here, one just came in from people who have read my book. That's huge. Pumpkin Plan is my personal favorite, though. It was just such a fun write. And it's just given me so much joy. That was my first mainstream book. And I loved it. Still did.
It's a good one. They're all good ones. I want to share with you Clockwork. Your book Clockwork is one of the reasons I was able to write this book, because I have a pretty large accounting firm.
Yes.
Right? And so Clockwork process, systematize things. And then I was able to step back and focus on the book. And it wasn't 100%, but like that was a really key piece of me being able to step back, is getting all that in place. So
I am honored that that served you. And your book will serve so many people in their journey. And Julie, the ultimate sin, I think, is you're not going to hear from most of them because they're not going to contact you. You're not going to have the ability to, or the thought, but you will transform businesses from business owners you never hear from. So for you to share, that's a blessing to me. I hope you get feedback from enough folks to understand what a blessing it is that you've written your book.
Well, thank you. And Mike, I must say it's an honor that you allowed me to customize this book for therapists specifically. Yeah. And I've worked with you. So you've got some big fans in the in the chat. So thank you, Mike, for everything. Thank you for being here on this very special book birthday. It's very exciting. I'm really excited that you took the time to come with us.
Congratulations.
If you're looking for accounting help, head over to therapyforyourmoney.com/accounting to find information about my accounting firm and all of our specialized services just for private practice owners. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes, click on ratings and reviews, and give us a quick shout out. We really appreciate it.
The information contained in this podcast represents the host and guest's general opinions and should not be construed as personalized accounting and tax advice. Listeners should consider all facts and circumstances before applying this information and seek appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. Any info provided does not constitute accounting, tax, or legal advice.